Hello, Living Life family. Today we are stepping into one of the most beautiful parts of scripture, the poetry of the Bible, and especially the Psalms. And I want to tell you something up front. This is not going to be a literature class. This is about learning to hear the heartbeat of God in a form He specifically chose to reach the deepest parts of who you are. If you are new to this series, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to episode 6, where we talk through how to read the different genres of scripture. That episode lays the foundation for what we are building on today. And if you've been with us from the beginning, I'm so grateful. So let me ask you something. When was the last time that affect changed your heart? Not informed your mind, I mean it actually moved something deep inside you. If you are like most people, the moments that have shaped you most are not data points. They are a song that made you weep, a line someone spoke over you that you have never forgotten. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 51. I pray this psalm when the Holy Spirit convicts me of a particular sin that I need to repent of. Sometimes I just don't have the words to say how sorry I am and how desperately I need forgiveness and cleansing. But David did it so well. Listen to this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Isn't that beautiful? I could not say it any better. This whole psalm gives words to a heart that is yearning for forgiveness and for restoration. That is what poetry does. It reaches the places that information alone cannot access. Let's pause here for a moment, because this matters more than we realize. A big segment of the Bible is written in poetry. The Psalms, large portions of the prophets, Job, Songs of Solomon, and even sections of the narrative books break into song. God chose to deliver much of His revelation, not in lecture, but in lyric form. And that choice was deliberate. Janine Brown, in a work on scripture and the formation of the Christian character, reminds us that the Bible does not merely address our thinking. It addresses the whole person. The poetic texts shape our affections, our imagination, and our attention. So when you open the Psalms and something stirs in you that you cannot quite name, that's not a failure of understanding. That's the text doing exactly what it was designed to do. Now, before we walk through the Psalms, it helps to understand the basics of how Hebrew poetry is built, because it is very different from what most of us have learned in school. English poetry relies on rhyme and meter. Think of nursery rhymes and Shakespeare. But Hebrew poetry does not rhyme sounds. It rhymes ideas. Scholars call this parallelism, and it is the heartbeat of biblical poetry. Fee and Stewart, in their essential guide to reading the Bible, explains that parallelism takes several forms. Sometimes the second line restates the first in different words, deepening it. Sometimes the second line contrasts the first, it sharpens it. And sometimes the second line builds on the first, carrying the thought further. You don't need to memorize these categories. You just need to slow down enough to notice that the poet is saying something twice from two angles, so it lands in two places in your heart. So next time you read a psalm, don't rush past the second line. That's where the meaning deepens. That's where God is often saying the thing that He most wants you to hear. Hebrew poetry also uses rich imagery and metaphor. When the psalmist says God is a rock, a fortress, a shepherd, or a shield, these are not throwaway illustrations. They are invitations to experience God through your imagination. Michael Gorman reminds us that reading scripture is meant to be participatory. We don't just observe a metaphor, we enter into it. We let it rearrange how we see God and how we see ourselves. So here's my invitation to you as you go further today. Don't rush. When you encounter an image, still waters, the depths of the sea, just linger with it. Ask, what does this stir in me? Poetry does its deepest work when we give it time. The Psalms are the prayer books of the people of God. Now let's step into the Psalms themselves. The book of Psalms is not a single book with a single argument. It is a collection of 150 songs and prayers and poems written over centuries by multiple authors for the worshiping community of God's people. And they cover the full range of human experiences. Walter Brueggemann, one of the most influential Old Testament scholars of our time, offers a framework that I believe can transform how you read the Psalms and how you read your own life. He identifies three movements in the Psalms: orientation, a disorientation, and new orientation. Let me walk you through each one, because I think you're going to see yourself in them. Orientation is Psalms of settled trust. The first movement Brueggemann describes is orientation. These are Psalms written from a place of settled faith, when life makes sense, when God feels near, when the world seems ordered and good. Psalm 1, Psalm 8, 23, 119, these are songs that celebrate the goodness of God's design. When you read a Psalm of orientation, you are being invited to name the goodness in your own life, to pause and to say, yes, God has been faithful. Life's not perfect, but I can see His hand. These Psalms train us in gratitude. They form the habit of noticing what God has done before we just go ahead and ask Him for what we need. So don't miss this. Gratitude is not just a feeling. It's a spiritual discipline. And the Psalms of orientation are where we practice it. But life is not always settled, right? So Brueggemann's second movement is disorientation, the laments. These are the songs born from seasons of suffering and confusion and betrayal and grief, like Psalm 13, 22 and 88. These are prayers of people who feel abandoned, who wondered if God had forgotten them, who cry out in the dark and they hear nothing back. I want to get personal for a moment. There was a season in my life when I was praying for my son's health, and Psalm 13 became my daily prayer. I would open my Bible and read those words, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever?" And I could not even get past them because they were the only words that matched what I was feeling. I did not have eloquent prayers, and my faith felt very weak. I had a psalm and a willingness to keep showing up, begging God for healing. And that was enough. God met me in those words during that season of waiting. Here's what I want you to notice. These Psalms are in the Bible. God did not edit them out. He did not sanitize them. He inspired them. That means your pain has a place in the presence of God. Your anger is not too much for Him. Your questions are not disrespectful. Maya Angelou, who understood suffering and the power of words in the deepest personal way, once reflected that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. The Psalms of Lament tell us that we do not have to bear our agony alone. God gives us these words so that when we cannot find our own, we can borrow them from the psalmist. When you pray a lament, you are not falling apart. You are doing one of the bravest things a human being can do, turning towards God in the middle of your pain. Is there a season in your life right now where you need permission to lament? The Psalms are not just giving you permission. They are showing you how. What would it look like to bring your honest pain before God this week? Not cleaned up, just as it is. Brueggemann's third movement is new orientation. These are songs written by people who have come through the darkness and found, to their surprise, that God was still there all along. Psalm 30, 40, 116, Psalm 138. These are not songs of people who were never broken. They are songs of people who were broken and then restored. And the praise that comes from that place is different. It's deeper. It carries weight and it has the scars on its hands. Here's what this means for you. If you're in a season of orientation right now, praise God and soak it in. If you are in disorientation, hold on and let the lament scare you. And if you have recently come through something hard and find yourself surprised by gratitude, this is new orientation. Let yourself feel it fully. You have earned that praise and God is delighted to receive it. Eugene Peterson suggested that the Psalms are not just to be read, but to be prayed. They are the prayer books of the people of God. When you make the Psalms your own prayers, you are joining a chorus that stretches back thousands of years, and you are being formed in the process. And here's something I want you to carry with you. You don't learn the Psalms by just understanding them. You learn them by praying them. That's where they come alive. So here's the takeaway. The Psalms give you permission to be fully human before God. They teach you to praise in the light, to cry out in the dark, and to give thanks when the morning comes. Pray them, don't just read them. Before we close today, I want you to see the golden thread running through everything we've talked about. The Psalms are not just Israel's songs. They are the prayers Jesus himself prayed. He sang Psalms of orientation in the temple as a boy. He cried Psalm 22 on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he embodies every Psalm of new orientation because he's the one who came through death itself and rose to new life on the other side. Michael Gorman reminds us that the goal of reading scripture is not merely understanding, but participation, being drawn into the very life of God revealed in Jesus Christ. When you pray the Psalms, you are not just learning about prayer. You are being shaped into a person who prays like Jesus prayed, with honesty and trust, with a heart that's always turned towards the Father. Let that sink in for a moment. The same words you are learning to pray are the words that were on the lips of your Savior. You are not alone in this. You've never been. So I want you to hear something that I hope settles deep into your spirit today. You don't have to be a poet to read poetry, and you don't have to understand every line of every psalm before you meet God there. He is already present. The same God who inspired the psalmist to write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," is the same God who is shepherding you right now. Through your confusion, through your questions, through the seasons that feel like Psalm 88 with no resolution in sight. The poetry of scripture wants to become part of the fabric of who you are. Not just passages you have memorized, but words that have soaked into the way you see, the way you pray, and the way you love. I want to leave you with two invitations this week. First, pray a psalm. Choose one that matches where you are right now. If life feels good, try Psalm 23 or Psalm 103. If you are in a hard season, try Psalm 13 or 42. If you are grateful after a difficult time, try Psalm 30 or Psalm 116. Read it slowly, out loud if you can. Then read it again, this time as your own prayer. Let the psalmist's words become yours. Second, share a line that moves you. When something in the psalm stirs your heart this week, don't keep it to yourself. Text a friend, read it out loud at a dinner table, bring it to your small group. The words of scripture come alive when they are shared. And when you speak them to someone else, you become part of that ancient chain of one generation declaring the faithfulness of God to the next generation. The Psalms are the Bible's heart, beating in lyric form. They teach us to pray with our whole self, to praise, to weep, to wonder, and to trust. When you learn to read poetry with both your heart and your mind, you don't just become a better Bible reader. You become someone who is being deeply rooted in the love and the character of Jesus Christ. And here's something to look forward to. Our next episode, we're going to step into the wisdom literature. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, and the Songs of Solomon. If the Psalms teach you to pray, the Wisdom Book teaches you how to live. It's going to be good, and I can't wait to walk through it with you. Thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget to download the Bible study work pages on my website at SamanthaShambo.com. You can also join the community, subscribe on our social media pages, and sign up for email updates and surprise freebies. And if this episode helped you, share it with one person who's going through a hard season right now. Maybe they need to hear that their pain has a place in God's presence, and you might be the one to give them that gift today. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.